What's up, everybody? Happy Tuesday. Junkies with you on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app. And of course, you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team today. We thank you for tuning in this Tuesday morning, July 8th, 2025. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Good morning.
Good morning. And
yeah,
Jason Bishop.
Sup.
What's up?
Sup. July 8th, we're getting there.
I got an uncle coming in from Puerto Rico tonight. Mm-hmm. He has a conference tomorrow. He's a cardiologist. It's some sort of medical conference here in D.C.
Uh-huh.
He's here for like a day and a half. Uh-huh. So tomorrow he's like, don't worry if you can't see me. But of course I'm going to see him. I haven't seen him in over a year.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not free until 6 p.m.
They're going to come
back? That's the worst. Yeah, like, what do I do? I was thinking about that as I was driving in.
Meet him for dinner somewhere, I guess.
Where is
I want to bring him. He's staying in Georgetown.
Okay.
You're going to bring him out to your house?
I think so. He's never been to my house.
Well, then tell him to Uber. I mean, that's 100% what I would do.
Yeah.
You can send him to Uber.
So you pondered going to pick him up at his hotel and then bringing him back?
I think that's what I'll do.
Oof. Okay, yeah, but you're a good nephew.
It's the heart of traffic.
Yeah, I would say, you know what? Traffic's horrible. I'm going to send you a car and just hop in the Uber, and then I'll drive you home. That's an alternative. That way you don't have to spend 2.5 hours in the car.
Yeah, I feel that's so impersonal for somebody that I'm seeing.
Who cares?
Once in a year.
He's going to drive, and then you're going to be personal with him and touchy-feely and hug him and everything when you see him. You don't have to sit in traffic.
It's an alternative.
You know what? Let him do what he's got to do.
Do what you got to do.
I was trying to think of, I might just hang out here or something.
Oh, my God. What would you do? After you're done with the gym at 11, then what are you going to do?
Nap. Nap on the couch.
No. Nightmare scenario.
Day game tomorrow by chance?
Oh, this is tomorrow, not today, right?
Day game.
Yeah.
Not in, talking about the Nats?
Yeah,
They're in St. Louis.
I was joking.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. You got to do what you got to do, man.
Yeah.
I don't think he'd have a problem just taking a car out there.
Right. Just send him a car. Say, listen, traffic's a nightmare. I'm going to send you a car. That way it's a little easier, and I'll drive you back.
Yeah.
People understand that completely. Completely. My opinion.
This is your mom's brother?
Yeah, my Uncle Carlos.
Yeah. Carlito.
So, Carlito. Cakes gets back in the mix today, right?
Yeah, he was off yesterday.
How many are left?
That's a good question.
See something? Are they under 1,000 already? Did somebody say in the 700s? I'm not sure if that was accurate. I thought I saw that.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, I guess I kind of would. It's happening pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I've seen on his tweets that he's been approached by a prostitute. He's been approached by somebody offering him weed. He's been approached by somebody offering him coke.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, Vegas is a disaster. I mean, it truly is. When you start walking around the strip, it's just a kind of a disaster.
People are ready to start a party, I guess.
I mean,
at all times.
It's a constant party over there. It's kind of a nightmare, in my opinion. But
yeah. So he starts back up today. I think he said yesterday when we had him on, it starts at noon.
So I don't know how up to date this is. It says the main event has 3,700 players remaining after completion of day 2 ABC. So have we done all that? May have.
I thought we were already through.
So that might be up. That might be up to date. That makes more sense.
We start day three today.
Start day three today. So day two, A, B, and C are done.
You start making the money at 1,461st. You make $15,000.
All right. Good. Good.
And you said how many are left? 3,200.
Now they're saying there's still 200 players who are registered for the final flight on day 2D. But after today, 2 A, B, and C, there are 3,700 left. I mean, he's still got quite a haul. He's going to have to basically go another 2 days, I think.
Yeah.
Keep bagging chips.
He needs to last 2 more days in order to have a legit cash sweat.
Yeah.
Any idea what the blinds are up to?
Hmm. No, but you can ask my wife. She is all over it.
Yeah, tell her to text you.
She is just really getting a kick out of following him in the updates. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we had him on the show late yesterday. Early for him, late for us.
Correct.
And,
There are 3,453 entrants left. The average chip stack is at $169,000.
Right.
So
the level info is they're at level 10 with 1,000, 2,000 blinds with 2,000 antes.
Yeah, so it's nothing. He's good. He's good.
So he's got 275? Is that how many chips
Something
he's got?
Something like that.
Yeah. To be honest with you, you know what he could do is he could just come in half the day.
I mean, if he wanted.
If he wanted to, he could legit.
What
he
should do is
just sit there.
Well, yeah, just don't tangle with the big stacks.
Uh-huh.
You know, and wait till he gets a decent hand.
He could play. He could sit there and wait for premiums for half the day if he wanted to.
Sounds like that's his specialty. He said that he was really good
patient.
At sitting out hands.
Yeah. Mm. I always thought I was pretty patient, too. But I remember when we had, who's the guy with the, God, I always forget his name. Rhett Butler. When we had Rhett in after he made his run, he was like final table of the World Series like 15 years ago, 20 years ago.
Right.
And I think he said he didn't go, he wasn't all in until like day six or seven or something. Like he just never had his stack at risk. Mm-hmm. Now, Cakes has been all in once or twice already, but I think in a perfect world, you want to keep that at a minimum if you can because you're going to take bad beats.
Yeah, and it helps when you double up a couple times and you can sit on that for a while.
You have to double up. If you don't double up a couple times, you're shot.
Probably done.
It's impossible.
So you said the blinds were at 1 in 2,000 with 2,000 antes? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so we'll learn more later
you
today.
You know, one thing that we didn't talk about, by the way, because we were just caught up in all Nats hysteria, is the Cam Whitmore deal, which, you know, I think it could have been a sneaky good deal.
I like Cam Whitmore.
It could have been a sneaky when we did good deal.
When we did the mock draft, when Cam was still coming out of Villanova, and I think I took him at number, I don't know, 8 or whatever we did the mock. I think he's going to be local kid, went to Spalding, went to Villanova. Now, he only played 1 year. He's young. He's not even 21 yet. But Houston clearly didn't feel like he fit because they're giving him up for 2 second-round picks. It's like giving up for nothing, but I like him.
Yeah, athletic. I want to get into that. And I think Drivey has it. Looks like he has it here for later at 7 o'clock.
I don't know
hour.
Where he fits. I mean,
he's just another piece. He's a talented piece.
I think he averaged 12 his rookie year, and then it went down to about 9.5.
I think they had a hard time finding a place for him.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying if you're really good, and you're going to find a place for a Cam Whitmore. So I don't know why he didn't fit there. But I like him. I think he's good.
Yeah, I like that. So, we'll get into the Wizards a little later today, but that was a quiet deal that I noticed.
Well, the big news yesterday was the Nationals did hire Miguel Cairo to take over as manager.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of been through this interim manager bit before. If you look at his resume, he played in the league for...
like 15 years.
17 seasons. Yeah. Was on 9 teams, kind of bounced around.
Mm-hmm.
Been with the Nationals since 2024. Before that, he was the minor league infield coordinator, but he was a bench coach for Tony La Russa in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And then when La Russa stepped aside,
he filled in. Yep.
What I found more interesting from everything that I read yesterday, all right, Miguel Cairo takes the job as manager, was just reading about the GM who's taken over for Rizzo, D. Bartolo.
Yeah.
They said, at least in this Washington Post article, that a lot of the employees were looking forward to kind of a change of direction based on how he deals with numbers and everything like that.
Well, he is a numbers
guy.
Quote
is, he's going to be pushing for us to kind of catch up on the tech side. I think that we've done the work, the diligence to know what is out there, what we would like to do, and now it's just kind of operationalizing it from there. 5 people in the front office all speaking on the condition of anonymity cast Monday as the most optimistic they had felt about the future of the franchise in a long time. They cited DiPartolo's work ethic, his connections across baseball, his familiarity with ownership, his extensive background in the role, and more than anything else, his desire to engage with new ideas, new, bold, traditional, or otherwise, from every corner of the organization. So, whereas I kind of feel like Miguel Cairo is more of the same, it seems like they believe, at least these five people who all wanted to remain anonymous, that DiBartolo is significantly different than Rizzo. Doesn't mean it's going to work, but it's what they all describe as a fresh approach. There's more analytics,
right,
and a lot of optimism within the front office.
That's great.
Good.
Let's just say this, though. Both guys, I believe, are interim. So
that is true.
They're both interim. If they get the full-time gigs, then we can really get serious about it. But obviously, DiBartolo, you know, he's got the draft coming up, so maybe some of his thoughts and maybe some of his analytics will play more into this draft than it would have otherwise. Great.
One of the front office employees says, where I'd most readily start is this is not hiring Mike Rizzo's assistant. Even if that's what it is in practice, he is a very different person. Very different. If people are looking for the new age, analytically minded, have his own ideas person, that's what you're getting here with the institutional knowledge of the people and the group that he's working with. So it'll be interesting to see. You're right. He is an interim, but he's being touted as this guy who thinks differently, that is more involved in analytics, that maybe something behind the scenes is going to change, which could help the future of the franchise.
We'll see. Well, yeah. Proof will be in the pudding. I can't remember. I saw something like, he's from, like, I don't know this stuff, the Cambridge School of Analytics or something. Like, I don't know. Is that MIT? I don't know what he is. But he's obviously some sort of numbers guy. When I remember reading about his background.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive me for not knowing, but something Cambridge something.
Well, maybe Rizzo was just one of these old school thinkers. That's possible.
They even pointed to the Soto
and
deal.
And DiBartolo could be completely different. You're right.
They even pointed to the Soto deal saying DiBartolo is the one that laid the groundwork for that.
Mm-hmm.
That he kind of set it all up, laid it all out.
Yep.
Did the groundwork. And then he thought that the Padres was a good fit. Put the players together who they eventually ended up getting in the package. So Rizzo pulled the trigger, but DiBartolo apparently is the guy who pushed for the move. And we've seen that pay dividends.
I think you could probably make that argument about a lot of the stuff that they've done, right, over the last 10 years. I mean, Mike was kind of overseeing everything, right? When you're a general manager,
yeah,
I think that's kind of your job. Your guys present stuff to you,
well,
do
it's
the
still,
research.
It still comes to, he can do all the research he wants. He could be the mm-hmm. math genius. It still comes down to Mark Lerner and all his, you know, relationships with whoever, you know, Ed Cohen and all these other guys. Spend some money in the offseason. Couple your young studs with some really good veterans, especially big bats. Spend some money, increase the lineup, and then we can talk.
Well, and also,
if you don't do that, if you're going to spend $75 million to $90 million instead of $140 million, you're not going to be able to withstand 162 games, especially in that division.
Well, also, you got to be able to hit on these guys that your analytics are pumping out. Because I remember when they drafted Elijah Green, everybody was raving about that pick.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, it's been a big dud. Doesn't mean it won't eventually sort itself out. But so far, big disaster. Carter Kieboom, another former, wasn't he a first-round pick?
Oh, yeah.
That one, you know, big disaster.
Yeah.
So, you know, baseball, I don't know if it's statistically that way, but it sure seems like it's way more of a stretch when they draft these guys. You just don't know exactly
what
you're
getting. Let's see
what
happens with the Brady Houses and the Dylan Cruz of the world.
I think House, so far, the early returns look pretty promising.
Yeah.
I mean, he might only be hitting 230 or whatever, but, I mean, he's having an impact.
He hasn't hit a home run yet.
No, he hasn't.
Yeah, but he's hitting hits.
He's a good glove.
He's hitting 240.
That's right. That's not bad for your first go-around.
First 30 games.
Yeah. We've got guys come up here and hit zero.
Okay, but, I mean, I think you're...
I'm not low on the bar. I think that's a pretty good start.
I think you're kind of talking about him having this impactful start. I haven't seen it.
Well, I just look at the box every day, and he's every other day he's got a couple hits. Not every day, but every other day. You know, I think so far it's been pretty good.
Anyway, we'll see if these guys have an impact. We're going to talk to Tom Lavero a little bit later in the show, get his take on what the Nationals have done in elevating Miguel Cairo as the interim manager, and DiBartolo, of course, taken over as the GM. And EB, his background is with the Cambridge Associates.
Whatever that is.
Yes. Analytics for Cambridge Associates. Mm-hmm. Also, Sean Casey, former major league player, now an analyst for the MLB Network. He'll join us at 8:25 here on The Junkies. Remember, you can always text us on the Lido Pizza text line. Lido Pizza is a local favorite. since 1955, serving pizzas, subs, jumbo wings, and salads. Lido Pizza Square, because Lido Pizza never cuts corners. For locations or to place your order, go to LidoPizza.com. You can text us at 1-800-636-1067. Standard message and data charges may apply. As I mentioned in the first segment, we're going to talk to Tom Lavero from the Washington Times, columnist, get a little perspective on what he thinks the Nationals are doing. Also, Sean Casey, former Major League Baseball first baseman, played for the Reds for many years, now an analyst for the MLB Network. He'll join us at 8:25.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, though, we'll open up the Junkie Sports page.
All right, so as we mentioned, Miguel Cairo will be the interim manager of the Nats. He's 51. He joined the Nats this past year after spending the previous year as a minor league infield coordinator for the Mets. He played 17 years in the bigs from 1996 to 2012. And, you know, he's been bouncing around. He was with Tony La Russa in the White Sox organization. Of course, when La Russa stepped down in 2022 because of a medical issue, he took over. So, you know, he's run the ship for a few games anyway.
He went
so he's
18 got, and 16.
Went 18 to 16 in the final 34, correct.
Mm-hmm.
So now he'll be the guy taking over for Davey. So we'll see what happens. The Nats will play the Cardinals starting tonight. There's only six games left before the All-Star break. They'll start tonight in St. Louis, 7:45. That will be Jake Irvin against Sonny Gray. So we'll see what happens. And, you know, we'll see what kind of a difference, you know, not just Cairo, but what DiBartolo makes between the analytics, because he is an analytical guy. He's a math guy, younger. We've met him. I don't know if you've seen pictures of him, right?
Yeah, I just don't remember. I remember meeting a bunch of those guys. He's not one that I remember, but we probably did.
The last time I was at the Nats game, I went to hang out with I didn't actually stay for the game. I went to I think the game started at 12, and I went over and hung out because I was hanging out with James Wood's dad, Kenny Wood. So we were hanging out for about 45 minutes, and I knocked on Rizzo's suite door. So I texted Riz I was going to be there, and he goes, yeah, just come on by. So anyway, he wasn't there yet, but Mike DiBartolo answered the door.
Mm.
He was chomping on something.
Right.
But so that's the deal. So we'll see what happens with the Nats and the Cards. Last night in Major League Baseball, kind of a light night because it was a Monday, but the Red Sox beat the Rockies 9-3. They won four straight, so they're really pounding the ball. Roman Anthony, who's their top prospect, had three hits and his second home run last night. So they're really hitting the ball. Of course, they just swept the Nats. They win 9-3 last night. The Dodgers have lost four straight. They lost to the Brewers 9-1. Couple other notes. The Blue Jays, they beat the White Sox 8-4. They've won nine straight games, so they're on a roll. The Blue Jays on May 28th were eight games back of the Yankees. Think about that.
Yeah.
Now they're 3.5 up on the Yankees.
Yeah, if you had asked me right now, you know, where are the Blue Jays in the American League East, I would have said, I don't know, third, fourth. Never would have said leading.
Oh, they're on a tear, 53-38. And again, you know, just about a month and a half ago, they were eight games back, trailing eight games to the Yankees. A lot of people thought the Yankees were the best team in baseball at that time, mm-hmm. even better than the Dodgers. But they are not playing well. And the Blue Jays have increased their lead to 3.5 over the Yankees. So there's a lot going on. Cleveland, by the way, snapped a 9-game losing streak last night, and they beat the Astros. So I'll tell you what, I mean, there's a lot going on in baseball, obviously, with the draft coming up on Sunday.
What do you think
of... We'll see what happens with the Nats, because the Nats have the top pick. Are they going to go young high schooler, you know, like an Ethan Holliday? Or are they going to go a more, you know, physical, ready to make a major league roster in the next 2 years and maybe go Cade Anderson, the pitcher out of LSU?
It's we'll funny, Drab came in and said, you know, they're not expected to go Holiday. He's not the favorite like he was. They, you know, it's we'll been see. Talk all year that there's no clear-cut top guy, but the Google AI says Ethan Holiday.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, I'll tell you what. Remember when Jackson Holiday was struggling last year?
Mm-hmm.
And we all kind of just questioned it. We said, mm-hmm. Why was he such a high pick? Well, he's balling now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, remember they sent him back down to the minors last year after he struggled?
Yep.
And he has been really good. He's hitting about 265. He had four hits in his last game. How many home runs has he got
11
now?
Home runs.
11? Yeah. Leading off, he's balling. So I might want to go with those bloodlines.
Also has nine, you know, swipes, stolen
bases.
It'd
be hard for me to pass on that, but who knows? I don't know anything. But yeah, you go to ESPN and they say the two candidates, obviously Holiday and then Cade Anderson.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. The draft is Sunday. Hey, I don't know if you guys are paying attention to Wimbledon. I watched a lot yesterday, but they're down to the quarterfinals. On the men's side,
I just saw that Sinner or whatever, he's got lucky to advance.
Well, this is a crazy story. So,
the guy that he beat, he's got a history of not finishing matches.
Five straight majors he's had to pull out because of injuries. Mm-hmm. And he was balling. He was rolling Sinner. He won the first two sets.
Yeah.
And it was 2-2 in the third. And he served, and then he just grabbed his pec.
Which is a weird tennis injury.
Went over to the bench and went into the locker room, came back out, said, I can't go.
So it was
actually started to cry.
It wasn't an injury he had before. It was literally something he pulled.
He's had a lot of back injuries.
Yeah.
And
that was a new one.
I think it was a new one.
Wow.
And he's just, I mean, he's a good player, obviously.
Definitely.
If he won the first two sets over the one seed, but he can't stay healthy.
Well, it's funny. I know during the show yesterday we were laughing about Joker because Joker got smoked in the first set, and mm-hmm. I said to Jason, "Don't worry, it almost doesn't matter with him. That guy's like the king of like 4 and 5 set matches." And he came back. I think he won three straight sets.
He did.
Yeah.
A lot of times when he's down 3 or 4-1, 5-1 in the first, he'll tank it.
Of course,
because he won't want to give the extra energy to try and make it a 5-5 or 6-6 and lose in a tiebreak in the first, and then he just rolled in the second, third, and fourth. So your quarterfinals on the men's side, Sinner will play Ben Shelton, one of the two Americans left on the men's side. Kibale will play Joker. All right, so those two winners will face each other in the semis. Taylor Fritz will play Kachanov, who's the 17 seed. I believe that's today in about an hour and a half. And then Cam Nori, the Brit, will play Alcaraz.
Hmm.
So you're down to 8. These guys are balling. I mean, it's kind of all set up for Sinner and Alcaraz. But again, Sinner got lucky yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Because he's been dealing with his own injuries, right? Sinner has?
He had an elbow issue yesterday. I don't know when that started. But he had to stop for a while, but then he started coming back. But maybe that had something to do with the first two
sets. He's
sick
if he could have back-to-back finals with those two guys.
On the women's side, my girl Sabalenka. She's going to play at 8:30 this morning.
I don't know why you like her so much. I find her unlikable.
I like her. I think I like her because the Netflix documentary had her.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, she's very fiery and competitive. But I thought she has a good personality. Now, she's unlikable on the court to a lot of fans because sometimes...
she whines a lot.
She kind of does. But she's just...
Somebody beats her.
She's kind of whining at herself.
Yeah.
But
did her boyfriend commit suicide or something? Something weird happened, right?
Jumped off a balcony.
It was like an ex-boyfriend, right? Or was he a boyfriend that was on the series and then they had broken up?
He was on the series.
Yeah. Terrible.
Yeah, but
story.
He had jumped off a hotel balcony.
Just terrible.
So anyway, she'll play Lauren Siegemund, who's 37 years old, unseated. She's German. So Sabalenka is a huge favorite there. There is still one American left, Amanda Anisimova. Okay. Yes, her parents are Russian. Parents came over when she was young because her and her sister were stud tennis players, and they came over, moved to New Jersey. So she's the 13 seed, and she's going to play a girl who's got every letter in the alphabet in her last name. I can't pronounce it, but she's unseeded. So there is still one American left on the women's side as well. Andreeva beat Emma Navarro yesterday. She'll play Bencic, who's from Switzerland. I believe that is tomorrow, and then Swiatek will play Samsonova in the last quarterfinal. So you got three Americans left, two on the men's side, one on the women's side. Couple NBA notes real quick. This is crazy. I mean, the money that's just floating around the NBA. Now, Paolo Banchero he's a really good player, obviously. Signed a rookie max deal for 5 years, $239 million.
So sick. I saw his numbers post All-Star break. They were absurd. I think he was averaging something like 29 a game.
He's good. Just people don't pay that much attention because Orlando just doesn't get that much hype. Now, this year in the Eastern Conference, especially with Jason Tatum being down in Boston with the Achilles and Halliburton going to be out for the year with the Achilles, Orlando might be a top three team.
Possibly. He's only the eighth player in NBA history to average 25, 7, and 4 at age 22 or younger. Mm. He joins Tracy McGrady and Shaq as the only Magic players to average more than 25 in a year. So he averaged 25.9, almost 26 a game, 7.5 boards, 5 assists. And he signs a rookie max deal that'll get him through 2031. That last year is a player op. The last player to do that was Luka. So he's making some stupid money. 5 years, $239 million.
What's the deal with Bill Beal? He's agreed to a buyout, or they're inevitable, essentially?
Seems like it.
Yeah.
Seems like it. He still has the control, though.
I don't know why he'd do it. I mean, I guess it's just you got so much money that it just doesn't matter.
You just want to play.
I guess.
And maybe play for someone and have a chance to win a ring.
I guess. But, I mean, he's going to give up $60 million. So, I mean, the buyout, I'm sure he'll get, what, half of it maybe? Who knows?
I wouldn't even give him half, but who knows? Yeah, exactly. So, there you go. There's a lot going on, but a lot of tennis, and we'll be watching some of the Wimbledon quarters right here in the studio starting at 8:30.
You know, a little bit later in the show, I want to do a hot seat ranking for the remaining GMs and coaches in Washington. Because I was thinking about this. The Nationals got rid of the two guys that were on the hot seat. Now, none of the other guys really are on the hot seat, but I want to go through rankings because, you know, you got Spencer Carberry. He just won Coach of the Year. The GM is Chris Patrick. He's been in charge for a year under Brian McClellan. Dan Quinn could have won Coach of the Year. 12-5 his first season. Adam Peters, everybody loves him.
No, those and guys then the are Wizards, running hot.
We like Will Dawkins. He's only really been here for 2 years, hasn't had time to really implement all the changes that they want. And then Brian Keefe, I mean, he's probably the leader in the clubhouse, but I want to go through that a little bit later because I was thinking about it. I was like, all right, so the Nationals just whacked both their GM and their manager. Who's next in this group?
Of the locals?
Eventually, in terms of the coaches slash managers?
Probably be Keefe. Yeah, rarely do the guys that navigate the tank.
Yeah, but I want to rank them all.
Get to the other side.
And a lot of them you feel very comfortable with right now.
You do, but things can change. Things change.
Things
can change really quick.
So maybe we can do that a little bit later. Of course, you want to give us a call. You can always hit us up at 1-800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Coming right back. Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. We'll talk to the Tom Lavero coming up at 7:25, get his perspective on what the Nationals are doing, making a change at manager and at general manager just before the Major League Baseball draft. Mm. Article in the Washington Post about what they call bathroom camping. It's a viral trend, which is now the new raw dogging therapy at work. They say taking bathroom breaks without actually using the toilet might seem strange. However, a bunch of Gen Zers are increasingly sequestering themselves inside the bathroom to scroll social media, listen to music, and just shut out the pressures of the outside world.
It's just being lazy.
How long do they go in there? 15 minutes?
I perfected this when I got my first jobs out of college. I worked at a research institute. We studied old people. It was the most boring job ever. I would go into the bathroom 45 minutes before lunch. I'd bring in a bodybuilding magazine, read about all the different lifts and everything I wanted to do later in the day. Take 45 minutes, sometimes poop, sometimes not. And then come back, take a 2-hour lunch, and then go in the bathroom for 45 minutes again and just read another magazine.
It is a way to get away from people and kind of just decompress if you want.
Well,
I get it.
It's a way to get away from a boring-ass job.
Yeah. I actually did a little bathroom camping at a wedding recently because it was outside in a barn and it was so hot and I'm wearing a suit and almost nobody else wore a suit. So I'm wearing a suit, so hot. And somehow the bathroom was like the one oasis with air conditioning. Did not know that at first. I go in there, air conditioning, and then I just extended my stay. And then somebody knocked on the door, and it was somebody working at the wedding. And she goes, "Is the air conditioning working?" And then I felt guilty. But there were definitely people bouncing inside the bathroom just to use the air conditioning, because nowhere else at the wedding was there AC.
I can remember I also had a job, you know, talked about before, where I worked at Indian Spring Country Club as a banquet waiter. Did that for a couple of years while I was in college and, you know, before grad school. And I would go into the linen closet and sleep. I'd go sleep. I don't know, 30 minutes, 45 minutes. Sleep on the linens. You know how silly that was? It was like having your own personal bed. I'd build a wall of linens so no one could see me. Kind of like Drabby and his secret hideaway he's got here, where he goes and takes a nap. Yeah, it's amazing.
Hey, there's nothing like a job with a stock room, because you could just disappear in those boxes and lounge on some love seat.
I would say our linen closet
was
bigger than this room, right? And it had built-in shelving all the way around, right? And linens, all different colors, all wrapped, you know, fresh from the dry cleaners or whatever. And I would just stack them up. And just hide in there.
Make yourself a bed.
Make myself a bed and go check on people. And then just go back and hide. It was a great, great life.
And I guarantee you, these people that are doing it, these Gen Zers that claim that they invented it, they are going in there. They're on TikTok.
Well, now they're on their phones.
They're on TikTok for 15, 20 minutes, if not longer.
Of course. The doom scrolling. People are bored out of their minds.
You got to think next level. The bathroom is a terrible hideout for me.
Pretty
I mean,
obvious.
You want me to sit next to Denton Day as he's blowing that thing up? It's disgusting. I can't even walk in there, our bathroom, for 10 seconds most of the time.
You know what else I would do? I would go, and I was supposed to go somewhere and get some other nursing home or something. I would go to a local high school in the summer and hit balls. I don't know about the football field.
You can't leave the premises.
I would just grab a wedge. And I'd go on the football field, you know, middle of summer.
And make divots in their end zone.
Yeah, but it was, yeah, just, I just,
but there's nobody
hit balls.
There. Yeah.
I just hit balls.
I know,
I'd
but
go
are
tan.
You, are you in like a shirt and tie?
No, it was a chill job. You could wear like a golf shirt and slacks. Summertime, I probably was wearing chill. I don't remember exactly what I was wearing in the summer.
I remember meeting up with you shorts. For some epically long lunches.
Yeah.
We definitely took long lunches.
To be honest with you, I had long breakfast too. I would come in.
Nice.
I had my big newspaper. I was a big sport. You know, when, see, people are like, Mar can't even relate to this.
Yeah.
But when I was in college.
What newspapers
and in
are.
In the 20s or whatever. I would get Washington Post, Washington Times, USA Today. All three of them.
Yep.
And there was a period of time when there was a paper. I don't even know if Drab knows about it, called The National. Do you remember about The National? Are you old enough for that?
I know about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't around very long.
It was a couple of years.
I actually liked
sports.
It.
It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would just get three or four papers. I'd have them there in the morning. And I'd get like a donut and a chocolate milk or strawberry milk from 7-Eleven. My boss would be so infuriated because she'd walk in the morning to greet us, and I'd have my papers out, my donut, and my strawberry milk. And that's how I started my first 20 minutes of work.
Mm-hmm. Was organizing your what you're going to read for the day and your breakfast?
How are you not fired?
Huh?
How are you not fired?
Should have been fired so bad. And I cheated and I faked the data.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
After a while, you
I was the
count
worst
donk steps.
The worst employee in the history of employment.
I don't know. There are a lot of people that cheat the system.
I was the worst employee in the history of employment.
There are a lot of people that'll cheat the system. My favorite story I ever heard was our pal Chad Dukes said he used to work at, I believe it was Home Depot, could be Lowe's, doesn't matter. But he used to take naps on the job.
In the tub.
No, yeah, in the tub, which was like on the fourth level.
I believe it.
You take like a forklift up there.
That's something I would do.
Nobody would know.
I would 100% believe that.
That's an amazing hiding spot.
I 100%
well, just think,
that.
A Lowe's or a Home Depot probably has a billion hiding spots like that, too.
Oh,
especially
yeah.
Back in the
you would need a search party to go find somebody
in
that store.
Yeah, but if you
store.
Just took one of those big ladders up there.
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah. You're trying to find a power washer. There's no one around to help you.
Everybody's sleeping in the tubs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I could totally see that.
Someone made a bed out of a flower pot.
Trying to think of other things that I did. But I basically
biggest racket, and I've told you this before, is when I worked at Wild World. Cakes was actually my boss. They created a position before the park opened.
Wild World is now Six Flags.
Yeah. Yes.
Been the various
Which is
iterations.
Going to be gone.
Yeah.
So Cakes was my boss. I worked two stands, Fry Funnel Cake. And they created a position called, literally called Morning Boy. Where you were supposed to get there before the park opened. And then you were supposed to kind of get the stands ready, mm-hmm. stock them up. And then the thing which nobody, I think, ever did was change the grease. Like, you were supposed to change that grease every day.
With, like, the fry thing?
And, yeah, you would
John Taffer would be so bitter at you.
After a while, you realized, well, nobody was there. Nobody was there to know what time you got there. So you're supposed to theoretically be there at 7, but you could potentially get there at, like, 8:30 and get everything done. And I remember I would get there and I'd lay down. I was literally, of course, tired. You'd find a spot to, like, lay down. And I felt bad. But then one day I see this guy Derwin walk in, and Cakes had botched a schedule. So both of us were scheduled to be morning boys that day. And Derwin's deal is, he walks by me. He was just going to the arcade playing games for like 2 hours.
He wasn't doing any work.
Doing nothing. Then he would put the check mark pretending he had done everything. No, yeah, I changed the grease.
I mean, who knows how often this happens today, but I know a buddy that worked in town, and he had a guy that, and he, you know how, like, if you worked for like the government or something, you could work like 4 days a week, 10 hours a day, so you could get a day off, or 9 hours a day, so every ninth day or whatever, you get a
sure,
day
flex
off.
Flex hours.
You get the flex hours. So he was going in there early to get his time. Well, he noticed one of his guys in his, he was coming in, punching a clock, and then going home and going back to bed. And he ratted him out.
Oh, that's a...
He ratted him out.
I think oh, I know man. The rat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that
he
was kind of... That was something that you used to do, is fudge the timesheet.
Yep.
I never really did that.
You would go in... Some jobs, you would go in so early, no one would be there, like JP said. So why couldn't you say you got in at 5:30 instead mm-hmm. of getting in at 6:30?
Yeah,
no one's there.
When I worked a job where you would have to punch the clock, there was really no getting around that. You'd walk in, you'd punch the clock.
Or you'd have somebody do it for you.
I guess you could have someone do it for you.
Yeah, but there were other jobs, like my Wild World job, where you just wrote it in.
Growing up.
7:30 a.m.
Yeah, growing up, you would take your timesheet and write it in.
Right. But this whole bathroom camping thing, if Gen Zers or if guys like Mar think they invented it, believe me, but we perfected it 30 years ago.
Back in high school, I used to work at a grocery store, and when they would send me out to go do carts, you know, I'd go to Walgreens, the gas station, pop by McDonald's. I would smoke and joke and do whatever it took to just kill time for like 30 minutes out there.
Oh, yeah.
But you couldn't get around. We didn't have a punch clock. It was a fob. So everything was like technology. There was no getting around the timesheets.
When I worked at Eden Spring, I had graduated from a banquet waiter. I was like the assistant manager of like purchasing or whatever, right? And that's what I did while I was in grad school. And this is a true story. They would send me out to go, like, I would go to all the various country clubs and, hey, we need some whatever, tomato paste or whatever. We need some challah for I don't know, bar mitzvah or something. Whatever. And so I would drive around town. This is a true story. I would listen to 106.7. I would just listen to G. Gordon Liddy and drive around town and just kill time. Right. I mean, besides for traffic, I loved it.
They sent you on such a nubs errand to go like get bread while everyone else is busting their ass back at the dining hall.
And they're like, yeah, we didn't have enough tomatoes. Can you go over to this weird grocery store that has these bizarre tomatoes that we need? And I would go.
Oh, no. Yeah, we would do that you would have to go take like spray paint cans to another park in Anne Arundel County.
Greatest gift ever.
You would drive 50 miles an hour while everyone else is cutting grass shirtless in 100 degree heat.
Stop at every yellow light.
Yes.
Here's the bottom line.
I think you just got paid to listen to the radio.
I think it is almost a universal trait to try and beat the system.
I don't know. I think one of the greatest scams
that any of our buddies ever pulled off was the sprinkler scam. One year our buddy had a job where he literally had to move sprinklers in a townhouse community to keep the grass green. Mm-hmm. Right? So it was our boy Frazier. He moves them around every year and apparently did his job fine. The next year, he passes it, that job, to another buddy who had a girlfriend at the time. And
he was more interested in smashing his girl than moving the sprinklers.
He would put the sprinkler in one spot, and he would go smash, do whatever he did. And
there's just brown spots.
By the end of the year, the whole townhouse community, the grass is all burnt and destroyed because he never moved the sprinklers around.
Sit in your car and every hour move the sprinklers.
That's all he had to do. You could take a nap every hour.
He was more interested in smashing.
Well, who wouldn't be?
Yeah, I mean, you know, 18, 19 years old.
It was his first taste.
Yeah, I mean, right, I get it. I understand. Jason had a great, you had a great scam when you were lifeguarding.
Well, yeah, we would close, well, first of all, we were supposed to be there, let's just say 7 a.m.
You're supposed to be at the pool.
Yeah, at the pool, 7 or 8 a.m.
First of all, you're supposed to be certified lifeguards.
That's the biggest scam. He wasn't certified.
Well, I mean, we passed all the tests. We just weren't certified. We just didn't have the documentation.
Right.
Because the pool company was so desperate to have lifeguards in this particular pool.
Right.
But we would get there, and it was me and Skippy.
Right.
And we just wouldn't open the pool.
What would you do?
We would just hang out in there, and we'd say,
well,
and
all the play, kids. Didn't you play wiffle ball?
Yeah, that was at a different pool. Yeah,
yeah.
But we were supposed to be in the chairs, and we would play wiffle ball on the basketball court with all the kids.
Right.
And nobody was in the pool, and the parents didn't say anything.
Didn't you also deliver papers for a day and just toss them in the sewer or something like that?
Well, I mean, that was the worst ever, delivering papers.
I got him hired. I got
up at 4:30,
and so when I worked at Glendale Country Club. For summer, you know, 19 years old, whatever, worked the bar, which, by the way, I closed every day at 6 p.m. so I could sneak out and play 9 before it got dark. Literally, we closed the bar and go out and play 9.
I'm sure that went over well at a country club.
They were a little bit bitter. It was, you know, modest country club. Country club's a stretch. Jason, I got Jason and Scotty hired to work the pool. They literally lasted one day. The boss called them Tweedledum and Tweedledummer.
One was Jason?
I don't know. Those two guys, Tweedledum and Tweedledummer, they couldn't count the till. They didn't know how to do anything. They lasted one day. Yeah, I got Jason hired at Indian Spring, and it's Scotty to work a banquet with like New Year's Eve. And these guys are they're breakdancing when the Commodores are playing on stage.
Because we were hammered.
Because they were getting hammered in the basement.
I mean, it was New Year's Eve.
Lasted one day. That lasted.
You know how old were we? We're 21.
21. You know how many jobs I've gotten this guy last one day?
Probably
get fired.
At least 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when we were working at the pool, we would go in there. Well, sometimes we get there late, but we go in there and we would just sit in the office, and all the kids would be banging on the fence. Some of them were climbing the fence to try and get over, but it was too high.
They were desperate just to cool off.
Yeah, it was 98 degrees at 10 in the morning.
Skippy are going through bets.
You know what? Yeah, we just said, we're not opening this pool. We don't feel like sitting up on a chair.
I don't know if that's in everyone's DNA.
I think it's in a lot of our friend group, it's in the DNA.
I actually think it's a guy thing.
Yeah.
Because I don't think your wife would do that. I don't think my wife would do that. Pretty sure Teresa wouldn't do that. I think there's
guys
think
will it's look a for guy a hustle. Thing.
Guys are just inherently butt lazy.
Butt size to cut corners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a... Honestly, I don't think women are as likely to do that.
If you want to chime in, you can always give us a call at 1-800-636-1067. We'll be joined by Tom Lavero from the Washington Times coming up at 7:25. Don't go anywhere.